Well, good morning, everyone. So glad to see you this Sunday before Christmas. If you are a first-time guest, my name is Josh Diggs. I'm one of the ministers here at First Colony. We are especially glad to have you this morning here with us. We're going to be looking at two texts this morning. The first is going to be John chapter 1. I'm going to invite you to go ahead and flip on over there if you have your Bibles. The passage will also be up on screen. If you did not bring one this morning, that's just fine as well. Now, Christmas is a time of traditions. For some families, such as the one I grew up in, it's taken to pathological extremes. You have all sorts of events and ways you do things, the way you pick out a Christmas tree or what you do the night before Christmas. And so there are all these traditions. But there's one tradition among the many that I am most fond of, and that's Christmas lights. The more lights, the better. Put them on the house, on the car, on the pet, on the children, whatever you need to, just let's put some lights out. And so lights are this beautiful tradition that I thoroughly enjoy, but I got to be real honest. It's especially important for my wife, Lindsay, and myself to put lights out, especially on our Christmas tree, because we share a Christmas tree with Charlie Brown. It stands about 3 feet tall. Yeah, here it is. I love the cowlick on top, especially. It stands about 3 feet tall, has about 6 branches. If you want to try to count them, you can. It is a poor, pathetic little tree. We've had it for years. We're in an apartment, so it's the right size for where we're at. But this little tree needs some help. I'll tell you, though, when we wrap it in lights, even though it's not the prettiest little tree, all of a sudden, when we turn the lights on, it comes alive. My wife's really good at this, by the way. All of a sudden, it sparkles, it pops, it's alive. And all those little blemishes or all the lot of blemishes and imperfections, they just seem to disappear. They just disappear. The first thing God does in creation is to separate the dark from the light. And the ancient rabbis used to say that throughout history, God has been in the process of teaching humans, teaching people how to distinguish between light and darkness, good and evil, how to live opposed to how to die. And so huge sections of the book of Leviticus are dedicated to teaching people how do you live well? How do you live in community? How do you love people the way God loves people? Cleanliness versus uncleanliness, life versus death. The Ten Commandments are a list of properties, rules, ways to live in good relationship with God and with man, and to distinguish between the light and the darkness. And story after story after story throughout the Bible, God illustrates what it looks like to live in the light, opposed to the darkness. And so we come this time of year and we see the light from the darkness. And God is in the process of teaching us and showing us how to do it. Now, here's the interesting thing, though. Those examples, the Ten Commandments, Leviticus, and all of the other portions of the Old Testament, those, while they showed and pointed to the light, they themselves were not the light. They merely told and foretold what light looks like. And so, as one writer put it, when the time was right, God sent his son, and a woman gave birth to him. And so we come to this passage in John chapter 1 that is about the light that has come into the world. Now, this is a very famous passage of Scripture. But here's what I want us to do. I want to invite you to be involved in it this morning. This is a passage, chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, that speaks of light significant number of times. And so here's what I'm going to ask. As I read the passage out loud, when we come to the word light, it'll be on screen right there. When we come to the word light, I want you to say out loud, light, okay? We're going to practice that. On the count of three, I just want you to, with one voice, say light. Are you ready? One, two, three. Ooh, this will be good. Here we go. Are you ready? Verse 4. In him, speaking of Jesus, was life. And that life was the of men. The shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. By the way, this is a different John from the one who's writing. Let's continue. He came as a witness to testify concerning that, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the, he came only as a witness to the true that gives to every man was coming into the world. And so this is a picture of the birth of Jesus Christ. And John is saying that here is the moment when God says, I am coming into three-dimensional human space and I'm pouring myself into human flesh, and no longer do you need to see lists and rules and requirements to understand what light is, because I'm now going to show you personally what light is. Now, I am not a very bright person, but I will tell you, whenever I read a book or whenever I see something or I talk to a person and they continue to use the same word over and over and over and over again, I start to pick things up a little bit. In these five verses, the writer John uses the Greek word phos, the word light. He uses it seven times to define who Jesus is. He's saying all those things that came before were merely representative of Jesus. They were merely representative of light, but Jesus is the light himself. He is not an imitation. He is the real McCoy. And so we look at things like the Ten Commandments, and we see that they are representative of Jesus. So, for instance, the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. So fully did Jesus embrace that it says that in John 12:50, I only say the things my Father tells me to say. Or like when in the Ten Commandments it says, honor your father and mother. Jesus so fully embodied and embraced that he honored his mother even when he was lying there strapped to a cross. And he looks down and he sees his mom and his best friend John, the writer of this passage. And he says, mother, your son. Son, your mother. And he's saying, take care of my mama. And when it says, you shall not kill, not only did Jesus avoid killing someone, but he actively went about healing people and raising the dead, restoring life. And when it says, you shall not steal, Jesus continued to give himself over and over and over again. In fact, Scripture says, he says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself as a ransom for many. This is the light, the true light, that is come into the world. He showed us what light was from darkness. He brought life from death, healing from destruction. He brought restoration from brokenness. This is the light. And at this time of year, we remember the moment in which he came, and we realize that many of us, we are the recipients of that light. Similar to that little Christmas tree, many of us are broken and bent. We're missing a few branches. Some of us don't stand very tall. Maybe it's due to circumstances or bad decisions, but things have marred us, and we are not all that lovely. But when we are wrapped in the light of Jesus Christ, those fears, those imperfections, the guilt, the shame, and the things that weigh us down and cause us to look and be broken, they tend to just disappear. They just tend to disappear because of the light that came into the world. Now, this is kind of interesting. There's a friend of mine, he recently was baptized, and I remember at when he was in that process, after he was baptized, he stood and he gave his testimony. I thought, what a cool thing to share what God has been doing and what he's doing now in your life. And he began to say, he's in his mid-20s, he said, before God came and saved me, my thoughts were dark. My thoughts were wicked. The things that I desired, the things that captivated me, the things that engulfed my thought process, my actions, my relationships, they were not light. But I thought that they were normal. I thought that that's just the way things were. But he said, throughout the whole time, something inside of me felt broken. I didn't stand as tall as I should. I was missing some pieces. And in his testimony, he says, but when God began to woo me to him, and when he saved me, and as this moment comes, he says, I find that my heart and my desire and my thinking is changing. Those things that were broken are not. So instead of seeing my wife as a commodity to serve and to be used and to taken from, I instead see her as a gift from God. As the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So I love her. I treat her with honor and respect. My boss, who I found to be such a bore and such a jerk and such a difficult individual to work with, that I would lie about him, or I would gossip to the other people I work with about him, or I would steal from him by not working very hard. He said, it's still difficult, but I go to work and I say, I shall work as unto the Lord. And my thought process and everything is changing. And so this transference is taking place when we are wrapped in Jesus Christ. We begin to look and act differently. So much so that Jesus himself says some very powerful words in the next and last scripture we're going to look at this morning from Matthew chapter 5. This is going to be Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. Now, before we go there, let me set this up for you. This is a small passage from a larger section of scripture called the Sermon on the Mount. This is a portion where Jesus is laying out some keys to living. Now, here's what you need to know. Before Jesus started, he had a large following, but it was a diverse and varied group of people. These were not all one kind of people. Rather, in Matthew 4:25, it says that the people following him came from the surrounding area of Galilee, from Jerusalem, from Judea, from the Decapolis, and from places east of the Jordan. Now, what that means is, so you've got people who are Jews, you've got people from Jerusalem and Judea, but you've also got the Jewish, Greek half-breeds, the Samaritans, who are in this crowd as well. You then also have the people from the Decapolis, and the Decapolis are these 10 cities. The word Decapolis, Deca, Polis, 10 cities. These are predominantly Greek and Roman cities that are nestled in that green section, right in the middle of a very Jewish community. And so all of these different kind of people from different backgrounds and baggage and life experiences and worldviews and political allegiances and ethnicities are here gathered in front of the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And he begins to speak to them, and he says these words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He says to them, you are the light of the world. Now let's stop there. Light, its single purpose is to expel darkness. But here's what he's doing, is he is talking to a group of people who are varied, who are different, who have vast different experiences. And he says, you who are bent, broken, misshapen, who are missing parts, and who do not stand very tall, you, when you are in me, you are the light of the world. So let's continue. He says, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And so he says to this group of people, you are the light of the world, and light's single purpose is to push out, expel, to destroy darkness. In Genesis chapter 1, we see this picture of God. He's alone in the beginning, and there's this dark void. And it says in verse 3 that he said, let there be light. And there was light. And all of a sudden, the darkness flees from him. It is obliterated. And God begins to roll out his creation, and it is good. He creates plants, animals, people, and all things, and it is good. It's beautiful. And man walks with God, and things are holy and pure and light. But then in Genesis chapter 3, man sins. Our first father and mother, Adam and Eve, they sin. And what they do, in essence, is they say, God, the darkness that you expelled, we are inviting back into creation. And so God continues to roll out through the Ten Commandments and these other pieces of law what it looks like to live in the light. Because he says, okay, you don't know anymore. I will show you. And then he comes as Jesus. But he says, when I am now wrapped around you, the purpose that I have set before myself and now that I'm giving to you is to expel the darkness that has been brought in because of sin and because of bad decisions and mistakes. And so what I firmly believe, if Jesus were standing here in the physical form speaking to you this morning, is he would say, you mishmash group of people, you who live in Missouri City, if you are in me, then you are the light of the world. You people who live in Richmond, if you are in me, then you are the light of the world. You people who live in Sugar Land and Stafford and Pearland and Missouri City and Katy and Houston, if you are in me, then you are the light of the world. You CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, if you're in me, you in your place, you are light. You are the light of the world. The truck drivers and offshore workers in here, if you are in me, you are the light of the world. You teachers in your classrooms, if you are in me, you are the light of the world. And you moms who have play dates with the neighbor moms and their kids, if you are in me, then you are the light of the world. In 5 days, brothers and sisters, the world will be more attuned to hearing the gospel message than essentially any other time this year. You realize that right now, hundreds of millions of people are preparing for a holiday called Christmas, where we celebrate the coming of the light. And I think that this may be our opportunity, more than any other time of year, to have a right hearing and to be able to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that they hear. Because everyone's ears are attuned just a little more sensitive to things right now. You are the light of the world. And for 5 more days, we have a great opportunity. 5 more days where the world is listening just a little clearer. So what does that look like this morning? Let me give you a few examples. Yesterday, we had a group of people put on a community event here in our building called Santa's Exchange. Members from the Sugarland Rotary Club, Project Smile, other organizations, and members from First Colony were here yesterday setting up thousands of toys, labeling them. It was a zoo, let me just tell you. The gym was packed wall to wall with tables, with mounds of toys, with labels and stickers. And people, when I got here at noon, I was doing some work. I drove in, the parking lot was packed. And there was a line wrapped halfway around our building of area Fort Bend families and beyond who are here to pick up a toy for their kid. Maybe being the light of the world is as simple as volunteering and saying, we love you, can we give you something so your kid has a gift from you? We heard a few minutes ago from Greg that Second Mile received a donation from First Colony through Winter's Eve last weekend. Thank you for doing that. That is wonderful. But if you've been here very long, you've heard the name Second Mile Mission Center. It is a phenomenal organization that is on the front lines in our community caring for the underprivileged. And I can tell you from what I've been told, this year they have doubled the number of people they've served from previous years. They've had an overwhelming need that they have been trying to fill. But here's the interesting thing. With a bad economy, typical donors are just not able to give as much as they usually are. And so while they've been giving a lot more to their clients, their resources have been much less. And I can tell you, they could use a little extra help this year. So maybe being light this Christmas is instead of buying that third TV and putting it under the Christmas tree. And I don't want to pry here. I know that's dangerous. But maybe it's serving and giving that to Second Mile, and in so doing, helping a needy family get some of the basic necessities like socks and a meal. Or maybe you're saying, well, I've been hit hard by the economy myself. We can't do that. That's fine. Maybe being light this year means that you find that new family or that new person who's moved in your subdivision, or maybe that single mom who lives in the apartment complex and she's just gone through a divorce, and you say, why don't you come be part of our family this Christmas? On Thursday night, we're going to have a Christmas Eve service. Why don't you invite the person and say, be a part of our family. Celebrate Christmas with us. Or maybe for some of you, light looks just a little different, not much perhaps, but you know someone who's gone through a tough season and they've lost a loved one or a friend this year. This afternoon at 4 p.m., we have our service of remembrance. It will take place in the chapel, which is right out this hallway and across. And for about 1 hour, we will remember, we'll celebrate, we'll probably cry a little bit, the lives of those people we love and who have left this year. And maybe being the light for you is inviting someone you know who's going through a loss and say, why don't you come with me? I'll just sit with you, let you grieve, let you remember. We have 5 days. 5 days where the world will listen just a little clearer. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And so we have opportunity to do two things this week. One, to celebrate. We get to celebrate the light that came, that is present, and that has changed everything, that has wrapped us in light, and that has changed our lives. But we also, along with celebrate, we get to participate with him and be the light to someone else this week, this time of year. How are you going to be light this week? What are you going to do to be the light of Jesus to someone else? What would it look like if every one of us were this week light? And in so doing, we expel the darkness around us. Let's stand. We're going to close in a prayer, and Greg will finish and lead us in a closing song. And if this morning is a morning where you're saying, I feel a sense of God's wooing me to him, but I have yet to experience him wrapping me in light, after service, we would love to talk with you. I and some other leaders will be down front, and we would love, love, love to be able to invite you to experience the light of Jesus Christ. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this morning. Father, I thank you as one of the ministers here, but also as one of the brothers here at First Colony, for my brothers and sisters who are the light of the world, specifically here in our Houston homes. Father, I would ask this morning that you'd give us a greater sense of boldness, a greater sense of purpose, and a greater sense of clarity, that when we see and understand that you are the light of the world, that you are here, and that this season is a season of remembrance, that we say we want to not only celebrate that, but we want to participate in expelling the darkness around us. Lord, we ask that you would give us the wisdom to see what you would want us to do this week. Would you bless each here? Remember the light of the world. It's in His and only His name that we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.